episode 39.
Hey guys.
This is the fourth episode 39 we've had.
This is Ben. Number 39.
Ben.
What?
Are we talking about the episode number again?
Yep.
Ben, I think this is the 39th episode in a row in which we've talked about the episode number.
I'm just saying it for reference in your reference library.
Yes.
So when you shelve our episodes, you know
what order. I was making a birthday joke.
With all of those other...
Oh. You're right. Our next episode is also going to be episode 39.
We'll just keep having episode 39 because we're still fabulous.
That's right.
Do you think the other podcasts can tell that we dye our hair?
No. It's so natural.
You guys, in looking at it in context of all of the podcasts out there, we are still young.
All I know is I want to be dead before 40.
Well, you've got 1 week of life left, Ben. Better get on those roller coasters.
Welcome to Magic the Amateuring, guys. We're a podcast about learning and being addicted to Magic the Gathering.
It's pretty awesome. Maria and I are the amateurs.
Hey.
Of the title.
Yes.
And I'm the relative expert, guiding them and giving them drugs that look like candy.
So in our title, Ben is the. Maria and I are amateuring. Magic is, of course, the game.
The game.
Okay. Yeah.
On today's episode, we're going to talk about the Theros pre-release, which happened this past weekend.
Woohoo!
Awesome.
How'd you do? I did great.
I won the whole thing.
Wow, Maria, making some bold, all right, bold claims over there.
Let me just give you a note, listeners. We're recording this before the pre-release happened. I'm expecting to win it all.
Yeah.
Ben has no idea. We're going to slip the package in after the magic of radio.
Woo!
Hooray.
I'm going to do fine.
We'll find out.
I'll do fine.
We'll find out. Mm. We're also going to talk about scrying. What the heck? If you played with it at the pre-release,
it's different than crying.
Yes.
You can't do it if you want to, even if it's your party.
I can scry if I okay. I start singing another song.
Yeah. You can scry if you want to. You can leave your friends behind.
Because
your friends don't scry. Yeah. And if they don't scry, then they're no friends of mine.
Because they're scry. My friends are cards I might like that 8-drop, but realistically, I'm never going to be able to play it.
Yeah. Hmm.
Or they're 1-drops that are no longer relevant. You're my friend.
A lot of those.
But you cost 2 mana, and I don't need you right now.
You're my friend, but I'm really looking for my taller, stronger friends right now.
We're also going to talk about the cutest card of the set of Theros. I give this honor to one card from every set. I know you guys are sitting on the edge of your seats for this one. We have a euphemism of the week, and Megan's going to talk more about her beating. She beat down at a Friday Night Magic with the constructed deck.
Nah.
Woo! Again.
First of all, you dudes, I want to point you to something on the internet that we created with our bodies.
Point us to that thing on the internet, Maria.
Everybody, we made a magic-themed Theros music video.
Oh my gosh.
What? We did that?
We really did that.
Oh no.
That makes sense.
Yeah, to the tune of the song Dynamite. You might have heard it in the club. A few years ago. So we're real current.
Yep.
So anyway, if you want to see Ben, Megan, and I wearing some togas, dancing around like idiots with new words to the song Dynamite, celebrating the release of Theros,
mm-hmm.
Go to our website, magicthamaturing.com. Head to YouTube and just, I don't know, find it. Or follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. You'll see it there as well as on themeatery.org. So yeah, watch this video. I encourage you because it's pretty badass.
Also, it's been extremely... auto-tuned, and I'm assuming Maria's gonna auto-tune my voice right there.
I only do so much editing. For the noobs.
Hello, noobs. Welcome to my chamber.
Hi, creepy Ben.
Hi, creepy
pull
Ben.
Pull out your slate boards, because we're about to have a lesson.
I brought a white dry erase board.
Throw that away and go back in time 30 years.
Okay.
And get a piece of slate.
I have that ability.
Okay, I'm wondering. I have a miniature chalkboard.
Yeah.
It's green. Is that a slate or does my slate need to be black?
This is a good question that I did not prepare in my lesson plan.
I think the answer you're looking for is, Megan, that chalkboard's going to be fine, but if I were being real technical with you, it would have to be black.
I'm back from the past. I went to ancient Wales, which is filled with slate.
What?
Speaking of back from the past, Scry is a mechanic that is returning to the game of Magic.
Wow.
Ben, you really fit that in.
That was a great segue.
That was a great segue. Nicely done.
I led you through the labyrinth.
When did we see Scry before?
I have no fucking idea. I did not play whatever set it was in originally.
Okay.
It's been around for a long time.
Okay.
It's old, just like the Romans.
So Theros has some Scry in it. So what is Scry?
What is Scry?
Well, Scry was first introduced in Fifth Dawn. I just read that.
Thank you, Ben.
Oh.
Which was the last expansion for Mirrodin, the original Mirrodin set. So it was like, I don't know, 6 years ago, something like that.
Okay.
So Scry is a keyword that appears on some cards. It'll say, you may Scry X, where X is some number. And it means that you get to look at the top X cards of your library, and then for each card, either put it on the top or bottom of your library in any order.
Sweet. So if I had a card that was like, if I had a creature that said, like a prognostic sphinx,
yeah.
When this creature attacks, scry 3.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might be, I don't know if it the is sphinx is 3. Is it combat damage, though?
No,
I don't
it's
remember.
When
it attacks.
Okay, scry 3. So I attack with my little sphinxy guy, and so I get to... And I learned this etiquette the other day when I was playing a deck with Augur of Bolas.
Yeah.
I will put down the rest of my hand, just to be polite.
Yes.
And also to make sure that no one thinks that I'm cheating over here.
Oh.
I put down my hand, I draw the top 3 cards,
mm-hmm.
and I look at them, and I can then put any of those cards on the bottom... And I can reorganize them in my hand and then put them in any order on the top.
Okay, so some people might be trying to pull a fast one on you if they're holding their hand and they're scrying into their hand and it's just a big mess up there.
Yeah, this is one of the do's and don'ts. I've got some handy tips about scrying.
Ooh.
Some do's and don'ts, if you will.
Handy tips.
One of the don'ts is don't put the card in your hand. Don't touch the card to your hand because... You're not drawing the card. You're just looking at it and deciding whether you want to put it on the top or bottom of your library.
Ben's not talking about your physical hands that are attached to your body. He's talking about the cards in your hand.
But if you're playing me, I would appreciate it if you would scry
with
your
mouth.
Yes. Right. Or your toes.
Sure.
It's really up to you.
I've seen a guy scry with his ear.
Yeah. Elbows.
Wow.
Elbows is a good way to scry.
Ooh, okay. If my opponent elbows
maybe you're
scries.
Maybe you're eating a sandwich.
You use the sandwich bread.
And you don't want to get mayonnaise all over your sleeves.
Yep, that makes sense. I thought you were going to use the sandwich to scry. You may scry with a sandwich.
Yeah, or chopsticks.
Alternatively, if you use your dick, you'll probably be kicked out of the store.
So don't do that.
Don't do that one.
Don't do that one.
Yeah.
This is similar to Miracle, which was a mechanic a few sets ago. Where you can cast something for its miracle cost, which is significantly cheaper than its cast converted mana cost.
Right.
If it's the first card you draw.
Yeah, but you have to remember that you're doing that and not putting it in your hand.
Yeah.
It's very easy to forget. I've certainly forgotten to cast a miracle when I was drawing it. And I'm fully planning on forgetting to do that while scrying as well. So
yeah.
Just keep that in mind, guys. It is, if you're playing in a competitive event and you accidentally draw the card and instead of... putting it back on top of your library, you'll lose the game.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's hardcore.
Once you put it in your hand, like you can no longer be like, oh, well, this was a card. I put it back. I'm sorry. It's like once it's in your hand, it's in your hand.
So you guys.
Yeah.
Put your cards down.
Be
put them down.
Responsible. Yeah. So that's my first don't. Also, don't. Don't put it in your graveyard. It doesn't go in your graveyard. If you don't want it, it goes on the bottom of your library. And also, if you get to scry 3, keep in mind, you don't have to put all of them on the top or bottom. you can pick each for each one.
I can put one on the bottom and two on the top.
Right. So if you have one spell and
sounds like my night last night.
Were you putting together bunk beds?
Yes. And I said, I want one on the bottom, two on the top.
That's a really complicated bunk bed, Maria.
It's a very precarious bunk bed as well. The structure is like a Jenga tower.
Good thing you have vaulted ceilings.
Oh, I know.
Wow.
Anyway, at any point, that thing's going to topple over. I know nothing about construction.
Nah. Also, remember that you don't have to show your opponent what the card is.
Oh, because I probably would have.
Right.
Yeah. And you guys, I've done that with Diabolic Tutor before, where I definitely was like, oh, this is the card that I'm getting. And my opponent was like, well, you didn't have to show that to me. And then I was like,
That's when you take out your little Men in Black flashy thing, and you're like, okay.
Oh, okay.
That's easy to forget, because with cards like Agrabolas says, when Agrabolas comes into play, look at the top three cards of your library. If one of them is an instant or sorcery, you may reveal it.
Yeah.
And then put it in your hand. The reason it's worded that way is because you have to reveal it so that your opponent knows you put an instant or sorcery in your hand and you're not just cheating.
Right.
But makes sense. But with
blatantly
Scry
cheating.
Or Diabolic Tutor, it's just any card.
That's what I did. I showed a card with Diabolic Tutor.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
See?
What I did.
Been there. Been there, done that.
Oops.
Yeah, so when you're scrying, you don't get to put it in your hand, but you can do whatever you want with it. You can put it on top or bottom, you don't have to show it.
But don't put it in your graveyard. If you really hate the card that much,
why
are you playing it?
Ben, what else do you have for tips for us?
My last tip is about triggers. There are some triggers in the set, some things that happen when you scry. For example, there's a card called Flame Speaker Adept. He's a 2/3, and whenever you scry, Flame Speaker Adept gets +2/+0 and gains first strike until end of turn.
There's a lot of stuff to remember in this set.
Yeah,
that's pretty sweet.
And just the thing to keep in mind is that doesn't happen until you've actually looked at the card, put it on the top or the bottom. So you get to see the card first before you do that.
So the scry action is the entire action of like looking at it and then placing it on top or bottom.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, just like if you draw two cards or something, you do that all at once. You can't like draw one card, cast it, and then draw the other card. Don't have the opportunity.
Also, why would I do that?
Yeah, that's a little weird.
You know.
But what I want to ask you
maybe the card says discard your entire hand and you want to get it out of your hand. Before you draw another card.
Why am I casting a card that says discard my entire hand?
Because you're playing a reanimator deck.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Yep, sure.
It all makes total sense now.
Yep.
My question is, how good is Scry? I mean, I've never played with this mechanic. To me, it seems really neat, especially kind of in limited. I don't know, maybe especially in Constructed too.
Well, Maria, I have no idea because I've never played with it.
Okay, so we're all amateurs here for this one.
It seem like it's pretty sweet.
I think it's really good.
How do you feel about Scry lands?
I mean, you remember Academy Raider, right?
Yes, from M14.
Yeah, that scrying feels basically like using Academy Raider. But you get to, instead of pitching a card, you're just looking at the next card and then deciding, do I want this or do I not want it?
Although, to be fair, Academy Raider, that's its own thing called looting.
Well, actually, the Academy Raider ability is called rummaging because you have to discard first.
Okay.
Looting is when you draw a card and then you discard it.
Sweet! Vocabulary.
Rummaging.
Or you draw a card and then you can discard any card from
of abilities.
Rummaging is the red version of looting. scrying is very useful. How many games have you ever been in where you're like, I just need to draw any removal spell?
Yes.
And now you can be like, look at it and be like, well, that's not a creature.
Yeah.
Bottom of my deck.
There's a lot of cards that have incidental scrying, and that's pretty good, especially if it's like Scry 2 or Scry 3. There are also some cards that will let you scry repeatedly, like the Prognosticator Sphinx.
Prognostic Sphinx.
Euphemism of the week, last week.
Or Thassa will let you scry every turn your upkeep. Just remember to do that before you draw and put it in your hand.
That one seems especially sweet because it's happening right before you draw.
Yeah.
So it's it's essentially before I draw, I can look at the top card and be like,
I don't want to draw
yes
that card.
Or no.
Yeah. Well, yeah, remember to give yourself a reminder if you easily forget about this stuff by putting like a die on top of your library.
Right. It's just like if you're going on a blind date and you have like a spy camera.
Uh-huh, which I do.
Yeah. Just remember to check the spy camera so that you can pretend that your home is abandoned instead of going on the date.
Sure. Yep.
My last reminder is as a courtesy, and I would say this is true for whenever you're drawing extra cards or Augur of Bolusing or whatever.
Curtsy before you draw.
Always bow. Curtsy or bow to your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you're wearing a dress, it's a curtsy.
Yeah.
Even if you're a man.
If you're wearing pants, it's a bow. Yep.
If you're wearing a bow tie, it's a military salute.
And if you're wearing just a regular tie, you're going to do a fencer's salute. So find a sword.
Yeah. Maybe... probably bring your own sword to the pre-release.
Yeah, I would.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're wearing a tie.
Before you're looking at shit on the top of your library, just make sure your opponent is cool with letting the spell or whatever the ability is resolve.
What would you say?
I'd be like, scry two.
With that inflection mark?
Scry two, a motherfucker.
It's like French. There's no difference in the sentence construction. It's all in the inflection.
Qu'est-ce que tu es là, scry deux?
Scry deux?
I wonder what scry is in French.
In French?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Look it up, a French card. Or just like, I cast that spell, bitch, and now I'm going to scry.
My God. Like the weirdest opponent ever would say that. I'm a little sad about is in the rare slot, we have our scry lands, and I don't know if they're going to be worth as much.
That's true.
As our other lands.
Le jet de magma inflige tout blessure à un sable, creature ou jouet.
Which word was scry?
Regarde de.
Oh, regarde
de. It just means look.
Look to.
Look twice.
That's what they also say when they cross the street.
Okay. Maria, why, yes. I agree with you on the Scrylands, why will they not be worth as much?
I think because people aren't as interested in scrying in their constructed deck as they are as having the option to take one life away.
You mean two life away?
Two life away and play it untapped.
Yes, I think it is primarily because of the, there is no way to play it untapped.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I only want to play combo decks like every time. So for me, I would rather scry because that means I can look for my combo piece.
Okay.
That's fair.
Will tell.
So maybe we're heading into a golden age of combo decks, you guys.
Ben,
maybe so, Ben.
Is so excited right now.
Yep, so that's everything you need to know about scrying. Next week, we'll talk more about some of the other shit that's going on in Theros. But for now, just practice. You can practice at home. Just roll a d6 and then scry that number.
Sure.
We want you to be on the ball so that if someone's like, scry three, you're just doing it automatically. You're not even thinking about it.
Yeah. It's like a quick draw in the wild, wild west. Ba-ching, ba-ching. Everyone take... Both of you are going to take 10 steps. Ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
A lot of these matches
four,
are going to come down
five,
to who can scry the
six,
fastest.
Seven, eight, nine,
God, you're still walking.
10. Scry three.
I just shoot you with a gun.
Okay.
All right, guys. It's time for my favorite part of any new set. the cutest card.
The cutest card.
So let's start with the runners up.
Runners up. I have two runners up this set.
Aw, we're the runners up.
They were almost cute enough to be cutest card, but they just did not quite make it there.
Mm-hmm.
Spellheart Chimera is a runner up.
Aw, yeah, he's cute.
He's more kind of just odd looking, which is a good indicator for me of cute card. Mm-hmm. Usually I pick a really kind of odd looking one.
Mm-hmm.
So he was all right.
And like our last cutest card, Seacoast Drake, he's a flyer. They got something in common.
Yeah, that's true. Burnished Heart was another runner-up. Burnished Heart.
Aww.
He is pretty cute, and I do love deer, so he was high on the list.
That's H-A-R-T, Ben.
Heart as in a deer.
Yeah, he is cute. He looks like a little figurine.
I know, but then I looked into his eyes, and they look kind of mean, so I didn't pick him. And the winner, guys are gonna think this is just obvious.
I think it's pretty obvious.
I mean, it's like they printed this card to be picked for my cutest card. Mm-hmm. Is a Vulpine Goliath. Vulpine mm-hmm. Goliath.
He's so cute!
He is a fox.
He's just a big fox.
He is a fox.
He's a giant. How did that fox get that big?
He's huge.
He's a huge fox.
And he's got swirly little patterns on his body.
Oh, and he looks really like alert. He's just sort of like,
he's just like, hey, I'm about to prance.
Let's go out in the forest today.
Are you thinking about going to the pre-release in a costume?
Yes.
Of Vulpine Goliath?
Yes. I will be dressed as a fox.
A giant fox.
But then again, I'm dressed as a fox every day, if you know what I mean.
No, could you please elaborate on that?
It was a hot joke, Ben. Oh, God. Anyway, most people are probably going to mistake me for just a furry, so I'm going to end up in probably some weird situations. So I just want to say I am dressed as Vulpine Goliath. Mm-hmm. I'm not up for screwing in animal costumes.
Yeah.
Yep. I always like to...
What do you guys think about Ashiok Nightmare Weaver? Where does Ashiok fall on the cuteness scale?
Mm. Oh, man. Ashiok Nightwear. Nightwear.
Nightwear Meaver.
Nightwear. He makes little nighties.
It does look a little bit like some lingerie. It's like very long lingerie that he's wearing.
I really like his fashion sense.
Ashiok Nightwear.
I love that hat. Is that a hat?
Nightwear Weaver.
I think it's very intimidating. Like it's a very intimidating looking planeswalker.
Yeah, but I'm gonna go for that guy over
like,
Jace.
Ooh.
I mean, in the cuteness department,
Ashiok before Jace.
Yes,
I agree.
Jace seems like he's 12,
and he looks like he's trying too hard.
Good point.
Yeah.
It's got to be natural.
It really does.
Does it bother you at all that Ashiok is a planeswalker who came to the plane of Theros specifically to do research on how to cause people to have more terrifying nightmares?
That seems like, what kind of grad program is he in?
We're gonna send you to Rome for a year, and you're going to study terrifying shit.
No, this is all like... This is all post-grad work. Like, he's doing this.
This is for his PhD?
He chose...
It's like of his own accord.
It's his own research project.
I like to think maybe he's like a professor at a university, and this is like his summer study to like come back and teach a better class about nightmare weaving.
Right. He's running a study on the devotion mechanic, and he's like, maybe this can help me cause more significant terror. In people who are asleep.
And then when he goes back to his classes, he's going to have all of these photos that he took of the plane of Theros, and he's going to like put them up
on a
slideshow.
Jerks.
Look, and he's going to be like, look at these guys. Look at this underworld Cerberus. Isn't this fucking scary? And all of his students are going to be like, whatever. Because Ashiok Nightmare Weaver is their teacher, so they're used to some crazy
to
shit.
Yeah.
When do I get more pizza?
Bom, nom, bom,
nom, nom, nom. So, guys.
Pre-release.
Pre-release.
Yeah. It happened, and it we did. Were there. We were all there.
Mm-hmm.
We were all there. I was
and
there.
And you were there.
And the Tin Man was there, and the Scarecrow, and the Vulpine Goliath, and the Fleece Mane Lion.
Do you guys think I'm more like the Scarecrow or the Tin Man?
Oh, that's Tin Man.
Yeah.
Why? Because I have no feelings?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But he was my favorite, so you have that.
The Tin Man?
Yes.
I liked Toto.
Sure.
There was nothing wrong with that guy.
No, nothing wrong with that guy.
He did have fleas, though. Rampant fleas.
Oh, yeah. What a bitch.
It's Kansas.
But he didn't ask Oz for any help.
No.
He dealt with it on
his
own.
He really did, because he was the least whiny of all of those characters.
He sucked it up, and he really did. He swallowed it.
True American.
Are you guys ready to be super monocolored for the pre-release?
What?
Are these in your plans?
I want to, yeah.
You want to be super monocolored?
Super monocolored.
Wow.
Okay, so this is before we play our day. We're going to record some stuff live at the pre-release. We're having a little chat now. Yep. I plan to play black. We'll see if that happens or not in the next, you know, minute or so. You're going to learn if it did.
Yep.
And being mono black would be super cool. I don't know if that's possible, though.
Mm.
All right.
And sealed. We'll see.
We'll see, man.
Probably not.
Probably not. Probably not.
We'll see if I can live the dream.
Woo!
See you guys on the other side after you listen to How Our Day Went.
Oh, man. I got to get the fluid levels checked in that time machine.
They sound a little off.
All right, so I'm sitting here with somebody. What's your name, sir?
It's Emery.
Emery. Like the nail file?
No.
He's like, shut up. I've heard that so many times. Okay. You played the pre-release at midnight, correct?
Yes, I did.
And what have you got here to help you get through the day today?
A lot of caffeine and a muffin.
And several vitamins.
Gotta stay healthy.
What was your record at the midnight pre-release, sir?
4-0.
Oh my god. Okay, tell me, what did you run?
Black blue.
Okay.
It was basically just a small splash of blue. I could have gone mono black, but Griptide's pretty good.
Yes, it does seem pretty good. Can you tell me your secret to success? Why do you think you won so many games? Other than the fact that you're an amazing player, I assume.
You know what happens when you assume, though.
Right, right. So, do you think this is a slow format?
If I nod, will people see that?
No, it's radio, so it's only sound.
Yes. It is. It's fairly slow, but sealed is usually pretty slow. So.
Yeah, exactly.
In draft, it'll probably be a lot faster, I think.
I'm here with some more people who played last night. Ted, tell me, how'd you do?
I thought I did pretty well, considering the first time playing it. The format is actually pretty fast. It looked like it'd be a little slower based on the spoilers, but after playing it, there's a lot of combat tricks and a lot of ways to suit up little guys, so you kind of have to be ready to play some defense early. I think 5 is the magic creature toughness, what with the Lash of the Whip and the 4 damage red removal spell, but overall I thought Monstrous was pretty good for red-green what I was playing. I played some ramp and some Monstrous red-green stuff, and really solid. The Stone Crusher Giant worked well for me. It kind of cleared the board out for some Alpha Strikes, so overall really fun. Saw some gods and a lot of fun cards. It's a cool format.
Friend of the show, Matthias Hunt. Hey, so you played last night at midnight.
I went to the Red Way. I think it was the Path of the Warrior.
Battle.
Path of. I chose the Path of Battle yesterday.
Amen.
Yes. It went very well. I won all my rounds playing at Red Deck. I know. It was very fortunate because I opened a lot of really good cards. I opened the Red God in my pre-release pack.
Oh, that helps.
And then my next opens were an Elspeth and a Dual Land were the next two packs I cracked.
So oh my god.
This is going pretty well. I actually didn't play the Elspeth. I played Blue-Red. I had 3 of this 1-2 double strike. It's just a little puppy dog. And then I...
The Cerberus or whatever?
Yeah, he's a hound. And then I gave him 2-2 and flying a lot. And then there's also this enchantment that gives him fire breathing and draws a card. And that's really good on him too, because he has double strike.
Overall, what do you think of like the speed of the format in general?
Well, it's sealed deck, so sealed deck's pretty slow.
You're still able to get there. Going.
Still able to get there. Playing red. Well, I just had a lot of powerful cards. I wasn't really curving people out. I think green white are the deck cards to do it. I think the heroic deck probably does it. I don't know if you can open heroic in here and sealed. I'm gonna try that in the sealed though. I'm gonna try to.
Do heroic?
I'm gonna try to be heroic.
So you're gonna go white?
I think so, if they have one.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
There's an uncommon, which I think might be the best uncommon in the set, that is called Sea God's Revenge, which is 5 and a blue, and it unsummons 3 creatures and you scry one. And you should pick that card very highly and consider splashing it.
Sea God's Revenge is
very strong.
That's what you get after you eat undercooked food at Long John Silver's.
Oh, man.
Megan, we just got finished with our sealed Theros pre-release.
Yes, we did.
I ended up doing white, as did you.
Yes.
2 whites. I went white-blue control, if you can believe that shit.
And what?
White-blue control.
Oh, man. Maria, what's wrong with you?
I know, it hurt my heart. But you know what? Sometimes you just have to play with the cards you're given in life. When Wizards gives you lemons, play control.
I think people would say that the cards in control are far from lemons.
You're right. I'm just being so bitter. But they do have some great top end, man. Blue's top end is pretty great.
What? Tell me about it.
Well, we got a Sea God's Revenge. I had 2 Sea God's Revenge.
That card is baller.
It is awesome because there is hardly any removal, you know, that's worth a damn. And that card is just like, bye. And another just... Real superstar for me was the card that you could destroy an attacking or blocking creature. Someone just came by and said poop in our microphone.
That was amazing. That was amazing. Wait, what was the other one?
The one that you destroy. Yeah.
Yep.
Superstar.
Nice.
And I also had Helioid, which was pretty cool because I went white. And, you know, the promo. Yeah, we should play each other. But first, tell me how it went for you.
Maria, I'm on a playing high. I just want more. I want more playing.
I went 2-1. You went 2-1.
I went 2-1. I won 1, lost.
Okay.
That was how that went. I did have some trouble with opening hands. I had some super mediocre opening hands with, like, 2 lands in them.
Yeah.
Multiple times. And I was like, come on, guys. I'm running the normal number of lands. I have 17 lands.
I ran 18 because I have a lot of top end.
Nice.
You know, wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Yeah, you do.
You're playing aggressive deck?
It is fairly aggressive. I decided to go with, I had a lot of red burn spells. I had 3 lightning bolts.
Awesome.
Yeah, which is flipping sweet. And then I had like a... Anger of the Gods, which deals 3 to everything.
I love it.
Oh man, some guy played the white card that gives you like 1/1s equal to your devotion to white. And then I top deck Anger of the Gods. And I was just like, burn everything. Burn it all.
Burn it all.
Burn it all. And so that happened. That was fun. And I had a couple of other, just like the one that deals 4 damage, one that deals 5 damage.
You're just killing.
I was mostly, I went with the plan that was like, there's not a ton of removal in this, everyone said it, so I was like, well, who's gonna win? The person who can just remove everything.
How do you like this? I thought it was pretty fun.
I had a really good time.
Yeah, I mean, I was really nervous that it was gonna be like M14, which I'm not having a great time with, but this is just like crazy and different enough that I just thought it was real, real entertaining.
It is very crazy and different. It's exciting.
Yeah. Sometimes people can just bestow something up, which I did with 2 different bestow guys.
Oh, snap.
And it's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But other times, it's a pretty good game.
Also, I think no one is surprised, but Fleece Mane Lion, what a rock star.
Wow, I love that guy.
That guy is amazing. He's just like... I never had a time when he hit the table and left it. He was just there the whole time. And then a couple of times, like, I lifelinked him up, and it was like, you are in trouble, my friend.
Overall thoughts, I'm really liking Theros and excited to draft it.
I also am really liking Theros, and I'm nervous to draft it, but I'm excited.
Yeah, hoping to draft a heroic deck someday.
Wow, yeah. Dream big. Dream
big. Tell us what happened in your pre-release. Tweet at us at MTACastFools.
That was the pre-release, huh?
Yeah.
What a day.
What a day.
Congratulations, what? Maria.
Hey, let's open one of these packs that we won or got for participating.
Crickety crack, 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 crack.
Oh, I got one of the rares or mythic rares from the set. Oh,
look at these uncommons.
I got two mythic rares. One is in foil.
What? Wow.
That's unbelievable.
Too bad that they're both master of the waves.
Oops. You guys, we have a euphemism of the week.
What?
Lay it on my ear tray.
Okay.
Master, I've brought in your drinks on your ear tray.
Thank you. My canal.
This week's euphemism of the week is also from Theros.
Yeah.
And it is Prowler's Helm. Prowler's Helm. You might not remember that card because it's kind of crap, but maybe it'll be fun. I don't know. It's like an artifact. Costs two, and your creature can only be blocked by walls,
yeah.
aka creatures with Defender. So, pretty crap, but sure. Who knows? Maybe you've built a good deck with it. Prowler's Helm is a van for child molesters.
Yep.
Get it?
Yep, because they're at the helm.
They're at the helm of the van. And they're a prowler.
And they're prowlers.
It's not more of like a boat?
Houseboat. Yeah.
Yep, it's probably a boat.
That's probably definitely
a boat.
So, you know, use this in everyday life. Every time you would need to say this sort of thing.
Yep.
Our euphemisms are really useful, I've found.
Yeah, they apply to a lot of things in life.
I'm just going to go ahead and call this one your euphemism.
Sure. Sure thing.
Okay. All right.
Megan.
Yes.
You had a Friday night magic time.
I did.
Megan's been playing some Constructed, and she played a really crazy, awesome mana ramp elves deck.
Yes, that is true.
This was the deck you talked about last time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not a different mana ramp elves deck?
No, it is in fact the same mana ramp.
If you
want to
hear what that deck's all about, go and listen to episode 38.
Yeah, it was the one that played 12 different mana dorks, and some Garrucks, and some Hydras, and some wolves.
I love wolfier silver hearts. I love the wolf's wolf.
Some crater of behemoths. Some stuff, you know, guys.
And all right, so did you go 4-0?
I did not go 4-0, but I did go
5-0.
No, there were only four rounds.
Did you go 6-0?
Ben.
Okay.
I went 3-1.
Yeah.
Which was pretty awesome.
This is your second FNM, right?
Yes.
That's as close as you can go to 4-0-ing unless you 3-0.
Unless you 3-0-1 or you 4-0. But I wasn't there yet. But I was really happy because the first two decks that I played that I won against were both control decks, which were definitely my most difficult matchups.
Nice.
But this is a little handy tip that someone gave me. When you're playing an aggressive deck versus someone who is playing a control deck, especially those with like Sphinx's Revelation, it's just really important to make sure that you're playing a threat every turn that they're going to have to counter. That way they don't ever have all of their mana open to Sphinx's Revelation on you.
Yeah.
Because
that's what you never want to happen.
You just never want them to be able to cast Sphinx's Revelation. Or if they're going to cast it because they need to, you want to make sure that they're not using all the mana that they have.
So you're going to try and get them to counter something.
So Sphinx's Revelation says, blue, blue, white, X. Draw X cards, gain X life.
Right.
And against an aggressive deck, like aggressive decks aren't interested in spells like that because they're just too impatient. It takes too long.
Amen.
Can you identify with that, Marie?
I sure can.
So if a control deck ever has a chance to like do that, it's basically like they've started the game over, except now they have 10 times as much mana as you.
Oh, that's so weird to think about it that way. Yeah.
which is totally crappy. Yeah. So you want to make sure that you're playing a significant enough threat every turn that they feel the need to counter it.
Yeah.
But then how are you going to have any dudes out there?
It's okay. Eventually, either you'll hit the point where they don't have a counter spell in hand.
Yeah.
Or if they're one for one-ing you, they're going to need to cast that Sphinx's Revelation for less than all of their mana, in which case you're still in an all right spot.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
A lot of times against a control deck, if you can just stick a couple of threats early, then they either, you might have one threat that just goes all the way, or they might have to expend all of their resources dealing with that threat, which means that your next threat is going to be good.
Yep. It's still a really tough matchup, which is why I was particularly proud that I beat these two different control decks.
Megan, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you, too.
Thank you.
We got you something.
Yes. I did. What is it? Oh, it's a little bit of self-esteem.
There you go.
Thank you, guys.
There you go.
I got you a puppy, but I don't know where I put it.
It's here somewhere.
You might want to check in that box that you don't have any air holes in.
Okay. If you think so.
Fun story. Also, the last game that I played was against a guy who decided we were in our second game.
He decided you were in
your
second game? Listen.
There was a comma there. There was a comma. Look, we're in our second game right now. I just decided it.
You're like, wait.
Roll to see what game we're in.
Who won the first game? Oh, I did.
I had won the first game. I had kicked his butt. And so he's trying to draw out the second game because we're getting towards time. And he casts Crypt Incursion, I think.
Was he slow playing you?
No. No, he wasn't slow playing me. He was just trying to gain life.
Was he slow rolling you?
No.
Nobody okay. slow plays my girl.
Mm. Anyways, it's the one that gives... that they get. They gain 3 life for every creature in your graveyard. Now, I have a deck that's mostly creatures, and he's been using the mill land, Nephalia Drownyard, to mill me a couple every turn.
Oh, wow.
So there's a shit ton of creatures in my graveyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there were, like... The way it ends is he gained 60-something life. And then over the course of 2 turns, I dealt all of that back to him.
With just your dudes?
With my dudes, because it happened that when he did it, I had 2 Craterhoof Behemoths in hand, and I had, like, 6 elves out. Craterhoof Behemoth has haste, and the turn that it enters the battlefield, all of your creatures gain plus X, and trample, where X is the number of creatures you control. So I had...
It's a bit of an exponential card.
Cool.
So I had... I played this Craterhoof. I have 6 cards. I have 6 creatures. And I attack with all of them because I use Garruk to put him in play.
Nice.
And then it's like, oh, so I deal him that. And then I have another Craterhoof in my hand. And so then I play that one the next turn.
Wow.
And just deal him a lot of damage.
So did you end up winning?
It was
that
really
match?
Satisfying. Yes.
Nice. So did you beat him in game 2 or did you draw him?
He decided that we were in game 2.
Right.
No. I won that match.
After you beat him, he's like, okay, let's go back.
Okay, let's go play game 2 now. And I was like, yep, okay, sounds good. I won that match.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. That was my 3 out of my 3-1.
Sounds like a good story.
It was a good time.
It's a good milestone, too, I think.
Yeah.
Second Friday Night Magic going 3-1.
Going 3-1.
Yeah, not bad.
It was a real good time.
Yeah.
I am a little sad. I got to see someone play a deck that is nominally terrible, but looked entertaining as crap to play. It was a Miracles deck.
Oh yeah. Neat.
Which just runs 4 Terminus, 4 Temporal Mastery, 4 Devastation Tide.
Yeah.
4 Entreat the Angels. These are all miracle cards. And then, like, some like 4 Augur of Bolas are the only creatures. And, like, some Feeling of Dreads and some Tamio the Moon Sages. And it was just ridiculous, you guys.
Did it win?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yes. But that might have been the player, not the deck.
That was, there was, like, a real deck for a while. Was the Miracle
deck. Yeah, that
deck.
Was. It's true. It won a Pro Tour back in the day.
Wow.
But it's still really ridiculous because you look at the deck and at no point does your hand look good.
Yeah.
You're just always hoping to miracle.
Yeah.
And fun fact, you can miracle on someone else's turn. If I say it was Ben's turn and we're playing and I'm playing the miracles deck and I cast a Thought Scour and get to draw a card.
Sure.
If that card's a miracle, it's technically the first one that I drew that turn. Yeah. So I can cast it for its miracle cost.
Are there any instants that are miracles?
No, they're all sorceries.
Wouldn't that be crazy? Because then you just kind of have to hold it off to the side.
Oh, no. If you miracle it during their turn, you can cast it.
Okay.
Even
if it's a sorcery.
What?
Yes. Yeah.
My mind is now pudding in which you have put a spicy sauce.
Maria.
Gross.
That was gross.
As soon as Theros is out, though, those miracles are rotating.
They're
going to
be gone, which is why I'm sad. I was a little bit like, I feel I would probably do terribly, but it looked like a lot of fun to play.
I heard
very silly.
I heard my brother was playing a deck that had 20 dual lands in it and then 40 charms.
Yes.
From Return to Ravnica box.
He just ran four of every charm and two of every shockland.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
He went 1-3. But the amazing thing is that he won one match, you guys.
Megan, are you sad, though, because your deck that you went 3-1 with is going to be no longer viable pretty soon?
That's true. I am pretty sad about that. It was a lot of fun to play. I had a real good time. It's a lot of fun to be able to just be like, I play Crater of Behemoth, and you're dead.
I mean, my boat is being repossessed, so I know kind of how you feel.
Yeah, just like... Your insides are outside.
Yep, you're not going to be able to boat because you can't play that boat anymore because it's...
New boats are coming out the line.
There's new boats coming out.
Yeah, my boat has to be displaced, much like the water that keeps my boat afloat.
But Ben, you can still ride your boat in a third world country.
Are you suggesting I hide out in my boat while it's repossessed?
I'm just saying, much like Legacy or Modern, your boat will still be good.
Boat in Modern.
Wait, did you just call Legacy a third world country? Because you have to be rich to play that.
Good point.
If anything, Legacy is the first world country to the rest of Magic's, like, second world country, maybe.
I got a little backwards.
No problem.
Yeah. A little backwards. Everybody, that's the end of our show.
Oh my gosh.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much, you guys. It really means a lot to me that you're listening to this DVD extra at the end of the show.
If you would like to hear the director's commentary, you can go back to the main menu and go to the DVD extras.
Mm-hmm. There's also an Easter egg I put in the DVD menu.
Yep.
Ooh, find it.
Of Ben dancing in his skivvies.
What?
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
You can also listen to this entire thing in Spanish or French.
Right.
Yep.
Regarde.
Okay. Scryte.
Yeah. Everybody, remember to check out our video about Theros on the interwebs at magicthamaturing.com, themeatery.org, on Twitter at MTAcast. We would love it if you would watch it and leave us some sweet comments because we think it's pretty great and we hope you laugh.
Well, I think it's pretty silly, but I'd like you to watch it because I'm never going to get the gold glitter out of my hair.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, there's a preview.
Please.
You can also just... Tweet us at MTAcast if you want to talk to us or feel the loving embrace of social interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You can email us at magictheamaturing@gmail.com.
You sure can.
Just chill out.
Hit us up on Magic the Gathering Online. Just remember that sometimes I leave my client open and then it crashes. So if I don't respond, that's probably why. So feel free to just send multiple responses until I answer.
Beautiful.
My name is Middle Schooler.
I'm Ice Cream Socialist.
And I'm Horny_Unicorny. Yes, that is two words with an underscore in the middle of them.
Oh my gosh.
FYI.
Thanks for listening, guys. We look forward to meeting you through time.
Through time and space.
We really need to get that checked out.
It's fine, you guys. It's fine. It just
Ben,
takes a minute
to warm
up.
Ben, if I get stranded in the 23rd century again, I look, swear.
We, if we, you want to take one of your guys' time machines, we can. Okay?
Look, you know mine's in the shop.
Offered, I'm the only one that offered to drive.
You have the hybrid time machine. Why would we take our time machines? We don't have a hybrid
They're
time
so
machine.
They're so fuel inefficient.
Yeah.
You guys never pitch in for Cronanonium fuel.
Magic the amateuring.